Woohoo!
Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, filmmaker, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From a coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we have that, some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
So the background, here we are.
Mike says that's why they were cheering, because Mike's back with us this week.
No.
Under the weather. Now he's back. Well, he's still a little bit under the weather, but not as much under the weather as he was last week under the weather. So, but he's able to.
How long ago was it? Almost 3 weeks, two and a half
almost,
weeks.
So he hasn't been well, but now he's well. Are you doing your DJing gig,
I did last Saturday, but I didn't talk much, and I think I might have done one the week before that, but I didn't do anything. I mean, I just played music, played ads, and I was like, hey, okay, here's another one, you know, that kind of thing. That's it. And then last week, I was more aware than I was the week before, but I didn't talk much. I was like, no, it's the coughing and everything. Why bother? But
I'm glad you're back. Glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Continue to recover, and you sound like your old self now anyway. So
minor inconveniences, but I can get through that. Not a problem. Thank you. It's working good so far.
Good. Right here. I did a couple times in the show last week where I said something and go, oh, Mike would have looked that up. Oh, well. And so we didn't get a chance of that.
I was listening to it, like I was saying before the show, and I thought, God, is this a repeat? What am I listening to? And because some of it, I was like, I remember taking notes on this, but I don't remember what it was. it was pretty good, though. Okay. And then the ending, you ran the outro, so that was good, the local one.
It was
not simulcast. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, you want to listen to older shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. That's where, there's over 300 shows on there, so you can listen to them there or all on iTunes. Yeah, they're all on iTunes. And I thought I did a search one time on TuneIn. I think we're on TuneIn also, which is a mobile app.
Really?
I had to check because there was someplace that surprised the heck out of me. I was like, I didn't know we were on there. Just like that guy that called from Brazil or whatever. What was that one that said we were number one in South America? It's like,
what was it? Not Mongolia. I can't think of it. Someplace over in. I don't know. I can't remember. Number one in food and drink category. We're number one in a couple of countries over in north of India, that area, that part of the world. I really can't remember. But,
exciting. Didn't know.
Yeah, some places around that never knew we were being picked up. So,
good stuff.
Thanks for listening. Whoever's out there listening anywhere in the world, thanks. I appreciate it. We have try to keep you up to date and all that on what's going on and everything. And so I appreciate all the people out there listening to us. I'm going to make you talk for a little bit here because I'm going to have you one more time give a list of the guests that we had, not last year, but the year before last, but they still got some of their books out there and they still got movies out there and stuff like that. And
I think
so,
I think I have that written. Actually, I have that same thing written down somewhere. Let me go back to my notes because I might just do it live because in the recorded version, it says, and back in October, we had co-directors Mark Johnson. Well, not this October. It was not for 2020.
Yeah, it was a year ago that we had all this, right?
Yeah. Jim Lachlan was here back in March and October. Yeah, he was, but 2020 he was.
And he was just here, a month ago again. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I need to update that again because he has a new book coming out, and there's more, coming up. So,
same thing with Joy Neighbors. She's working on a new book herself.
All these authors out there and coming on the show, and
you get this updated and all that.
So, the reading that I have, it says back in October, but it was October 8th, 2020. We had Mark Johnson and Mark Ryan and writer Michael Karam from the movie Wine and War, The Untold Story of Wine in the Middle East, which is about survival, resilience, and struggles. And for those of you who don't know, wine has been in Lebanon culture for 7,000 years plus.
Wow.
And it goes back a long ways. The proceeds from the movie, they're raising money for CAPHO, which is a great organization. You just have to go to their website and check it out. Go to wineandwar.com, and you can click on the Watch Now button or find out more information about CAPHO. Then we had in 2020 and this year we had Jim Lachlan on. He's a certified wine educator and author. You can visit his website at jimlachlan.com. That's JimLachlan.com. And he's got some books out on, check it out on his website. He's got a 15-minute guide to red wine and a 15-minute guide to white wine, plus some other great readings, some full books there. And as we learned last month or a month before last, he is working on another book, which hopefully will be out in the next few months this year.
Yeah.
So, as always, in October, we welcome Joy Neighbors. She was there on October 29th in 2020, and also this past October for our Halloween special. she's the author of The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, which I do have as well.
I did, too. I got it. In fact, I read it and sent it off to my sister because she's really into genealogy, and she loves it. She thinks it's a great book being in genealogy. So,
really great. It's how to find, record, and preserve your ancestors' graves and do some ancestry. Some of the parts are planning your trip to the cemetery, researching, making sense of your research, and digging deeper. Such as other records and also preserving cemeteries. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and others. Also in 2020, we had author of Pinot Rocks and a winemaker, Michael Brown. His book, Pinot Rocks, is available on Amazon.com. Check it out. It's in any audio format, and the audio format is great as well. William Shatner did the audiobook version of his book. Also, really fun guest. We had back in January of last year, Cap Kaplowitz. He's a podcaster, blogger. He does cigars, spirits, coffee, wine. And Ron, our show host here, is also a wine panelist on the show. Check it out. For more information, kaplowitz.xyz. That's KAPLOWITZ.XYZ. And you can also listen to how often that his podcast is on. It sounds like a great show for sure. So check it out. And
it's really, mm-hmm. you know, they do a lot of cigars and stuff like that, and they're coming out with their year-end, our last year review of the top cigars. They've been doing that. So it's if you're a cigar smoker, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And you can find out a lot of information and cool articles on his website. So check it out. Kaplowitz.xyz. February last year, we had Jeff Bradford, founder, producer of Beer, Wine, and Spirits. He's a filmmaker dedicated to revealing the stories behind the labels of our favorite drinks. He was there on February 11th of last year, 2021. And on February 25th, 2021, we had Natalie McLean. She's a podcast host of the popular Unreserved Wine Talk. She's also an author of Red, White, and Drunk All Over and Unquenchable, a tipsy quest for the world's best bargain wines. Plus, she has several quick reads available on her website. She's also a wine expert on CTVs, that's Canada, The Social, which is the name of the show, Canada's largest daytime television show. She's also been on CTV News and Global Television's morning show. You can pick up her Ultimate Food and Wine Pairing Guide for free at nataliemclain.com/allaboutwine. That's nataliemclain.com/allaboutwine. I haven't checked that in a while, but she was on February 25th of last year.
And, I haven't looked at it. Like I said, I need to check that out again. Yeah.
She's got quite a few offerings out there, as well as Joy Neighbors. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Joy Neighbors or any of the other authors, and you'll find out what they have there.
Find a bunch of books out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I need to probably update that, because we've had quite a few other interesting guests, but then it would be like a 20-minute thing. We had Jim Lockman on. The second, he was on December 2nd of last year.
Was it that long ago? Wow.
Yeah, December 2nd of 2021. Really, really cool to have him on, and we'll have him on again coming up.
He's in the middle of a new book, and we were talking to him pre-published. We were talking to him about it's a wine murder mystery. So,
mm-hmm.
interesting. Listen to the show, and he reveals different things about it, but it really sounds like an interesting book. But when it's published, he's going to come back on again. We're going to talk some more about it. So
we also had October 7th of last year, 2021. October 7th, we had Carlos Carniero. He's the director of A Wonderful Kingdom, which is a documentary of the Douro Valley. Which was pretty cool. So I need to add him to my list as well. But check him out for more details. There's quite a bit here that needs to be updated from this file.
It's nice to let, give shout outs to all these people who have been on and all too, because mm-hmm. they took their time to come with us and talk to us about their shows and movies and stuff. And these ones with wine in it, it's easy for people all about wine to get out there and find out even more information and listen and watch the movies and read the books. So do it.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. I should have, hold on. You know what? I forgot. Oh gosh. Sorry about that. I forgot this, the background music. Hang on.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, people who have been on the show in the past,
we'll go through it again here a couple more times, and the show will be over. Thanks for tuning in.
Let's run through it again with the music background.
The music in the background.
So that'll be updated, and hopefully we'll have I'll have a new one next time. But it'll be good.
Good guess. You know, a lot of fun talking with them and all that, and some really interesting people, interesting books, and all that stuff that they're doing. That's really some cool things out there. All right.
What was the last show you did with Kaplowitz? Sorry about that. Do you remember when you did his last?
Every Wednesday evening. a bunch of us get mm-hmm. together and talk. It's just a, I don't want to say Zoom, I don't know, but we all connect together and face-to-face talk, and usually talk about cigars, and, you know, I'll talk some about wine, and, you know, it's coffee a little bit once in a while, it's thrown in there and different things, but mostly it's about cigar. And he's having a, when was that? I think it's tomorrow. I think he's going to do it. He's having a big panel discussion of the cigars from 2021. What was the top 25? They're going to talk about them. If they're all sorts of things, if they're really worth it, what is number one and all that other stuff by Cigar Aficionado magazine, which is basically the authority on cigars, just like Wine Spectator is one of the major authorities on wine. And he's got a panel of, I think, 5 or 6 bloggers that are going to be on with him. These are the guys that I talked to in the group, and these bloggers are going to go on and discuss all this stuff. So it's going to be available. They're going to edit and download it, so that should be available by the weekend, I would say. So he's supposed to be sending me a link to the final, and when he does, I will post it up on the Facebook page, so y'all can tune in on it. But they're going to talk about the cigars and what they are. I've been kicking around an idea too about starting a simple cigar blog myself. Now, these guys have been doing this for years, and they have a lot of cigar experience, and they know people all through the business and all that, and all have met other people and all. But it's like people in the wine business who know all these other people in the wine business, and they talk about these wines that they've had in the past and all that. And most people have never had an opportunity to have those wines. This is what All About Wine is about, trying to let you know a simpler, easier, cheaper approach to wine. And because of that simple approach, we're not sitting there saying, okay, well, excuse me, here's a Screaming Eagle Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon that is retailing for $175, and you really should go out and get this because it's such a nice wine, all that. We're not doing that on this show. We don't. We're just saying, you know, you can find yourself some really nice wines in the $15 to $25 range that are really great. So try these. And I hope people are out there doing it. I mean, the people we talk to and the guests we have and all that's basically saying you don't have to go crazy, but just enjoy wine. And I think that's one of the things I'm looking at, maybe starting a blog on cigars, doing the same thing, only not real fancy. I mean, these guys are having cigars that are costing anywhere from $11 on up to $40, $50. Excuse me. That's too much money to spend on the cigar, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care how good it is or how it's rated and all that. That's an awful lot of money to be spending, you know, anything over $11, $12 for a cigar is starting to hurt the pocketbook a little bit. So I'm looking at doing basic cigar knowledge. Doing the blog, saying, okay, let's start with these are the sizes that they come in. These are the different sizes, and these are the different ring sizes, and these are different lengths. And when you cut it, there's different cutters you can use and how you can do it. And, you know, just basics, absolute basics of cigars. Because whenever you listen to a blog, they're usually reviewing cigars or talking about stuff like that, and they don't talk about basics. And there's a cigar factory here in Tampa that makes great cigars, and I'll go down and visit them and, you know, write a little bit about them and stuff. But this is what I'm looking at doing with a cigar blog. Just some, Wine 101 here on All About Wine. Well, Cigar 101 on a cigar blog. And so, anyone out there have any thoughts on it or any ideas or anything, just email me at the All About Wine. But if I do that, I'll set up a different account for cigars. But like I say, it's just...
Talking about wine, you know, you were talking about, you know, the expense of a cigar and, you know, $11 and up. There's probably people out there thinking the same thing about a $500 or $1,000 bottle of wine that, you know, sometimes we do encourage them, because you have said that there is sometimes, or maybe most of the time, there is a noticeable difference between a $9 bottle of wine and a $50, $100, or $200 bottle of wine. There could be a difference to it. And some of it's more pronounced than others. So it's more
same
expensive
thing
in the wine world, I think, but the same thing translates to a cigar. Maybe that $11 cigar gives you something more that the cheaper ones, you know, are not giving you. And
it will. But it's not, what I'm saying, just like here on All About Wine, you know, go out and get yourself, instead of buying yourself a $100 bottle of wine, which, I can't think of the name. What's the guest we had on that you can buy wine at $35 and they upgrade you?
Okay. hold on a second. Underground Cellar? Jeff.
There you go. Yeah. Jeff. Yeah. Underground Cellars. Now that's a good way to do it. I mean, you can go out and purchase yourself wines for $30-$35, and they automatically upgrade you to ones that cost sometimes double or triple that, and they store it and stuff like that. Now that's a good way to get more expensive wines. But normally, it's unless you really have the money, most people are not going to get an expensive wine. Maybe an extravagant purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. But most of the time, people are going to say, like I say, get away from the $7 to $15 range and jump up and get the $15 to $30 range. That's going to be a big jump for a lot of people and wine, and that's going to give you a lot of difference there. If you get a chance to get an expensive one every once in a while, do it. It's well worth the chance and the taste and the what it presents. Can't afford that. And I know that. I realize that. And that's the same thing with cigars. I have cigars when I'm playing golf, and I usually get inexpensive cigars. I go through a couple different places that ship them, and I get inexpensive cigars. And then the guys in this group says, well, no, you need to go out and, you know, go to your cigar store and pick up something that's a little bit more. And, you know, if you'd like a Connecticut, then ask for Connecticut. And I did. I picked up something a little bit more. And they were, you know, one was $5.50, another one was $8. And there was a difference of what was a big difference between what I normally have and what I did on those. And it's the same thing with wine. But I'm not going to be smoking $8 cigars on the golf course, because it would be a waste of the $8 because I'm playing golf. I'm not smoking a cigar. And so this is what I'm looking at on the website, is trying to tell people, okay, it's okay to have the cheap ones, but every once in a while, get yourself a more expensive one and notice the difference in them. Same thing with wine. And, the price point difference between an inexpensive bottle of wine, say $15, and an expensive one at, $75, $80, is about the same as an inexpensive cigar at $3 and one that costs, $12. I mean, you're still getting your percentage difference there, and you are getting your quality difference there too, But it just, I'm kicking around starting this just because all these guys I talk to are always talking about, somebody will mention a cigar and all of them will chime in and says, yeah, I had that. That was really good. I really like that and stuff like that. I'm lost. I don't know what they're talking about, So I want to do something that is just basic knowledge of cigars, like humidors. Excuse me. They still laugh at me about this. Humidors. Nobody ever told me at what temperature to keep humidors. I've got a couple mm-hmm. humidors that I've gotten over the years, and I've got the little gauge in there, and I've got the little water pack, but nobody's ever told me at what temperature to keep humidors. So I'm thinking they need to be up higher, you know, to keep the cigar moist and so it doesn't dry out. Well, I was keeping the humidity around 90%. And I mentioned that to these guys, and the helmet, no, don't do that. No, you have to wring out your cigar before you light it and stuff like this. And I go, really, what do you keep it at? And they said, oh, about 60, 65, right in that range. I'm going, oh, my gosh. They go, yeah, you don't want it that, you know, don't want it that high. And 90%, they said, you know, you probably have trouble lighting your cigars. They're so wet, you know, and I never knew, you know. Nobody yeah. ever told me that humidity should be around 60 to 65. And so now I know, and that's what I keep at. But this, you know, basics, just a lot of basics yeah. like this that I'm learning talking to these guys, that that's what made me think of a cigar blog, just to teach basics and talk yeah. about stuff like that. So
if anybody has... Or
I'm sorry.
Are you looking to is it a written blog or an audio blog like we're doing now?
Yeah,
I mean, like
I am not good at writing. Okay, I'm really not good at writing. I can talk all day long about stuff, but I'm really not good at writing. So I actually probably should write, but if I do a audio blog, it's only going to be like a half hour at the most, just, you know, simple. And yeah. I can always, like this one, we can always extend it if we need to. But, mm-hmm. you know, as far as guest goes, I can get any one of these guys from our talk group to be a guest on it. I mean, there's a list of a bunch of their own cigars. But I don't know. That's something else, too, that I'm still kicking around. Do I want to write it? And I've never been a writer. I have to say, and as far as, you know, audio, I can talk and all that, but, you know, these guys talk yeah. about writing their blogs and sitting down and editing them, and they'll work on it for 3 or 4 days, and then they'll read through it again, and then finally put it up on the site. And if they do audio, they'll go back through it and listen to it a couple of times and edit and all that. And I told them, I don't. I said, All About Wine, we do it and put it out there. I said, it's live, and it goes on archives, and that's it. I said, every once in a while, we'll cut out things that people say, but most of the time,
it's a lot of work to go through a whole show and edit. You know, if they're doing some extensive editing, there's people out there that will edit any kind of pause, any kind of breath, any kind of, you know, word that doesn't sound like a word. They'll just take that and to sit through a, you know, 30 minutes. Yeah, that should be okay. But you're going in real time and then blocking out things. It can take, you know, a couple of hours just to edit a short show, or more if it's a longer show.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
That's doing it live here. I'd rather hear the breaks and the uhs and the, you know, a whole lot of can't find it than to back through the show and go, oh gosh, now I got to take all that stuff out.
Yeah, just throw it out there. This is what the show is, and it, you know, when you start editing it, it sounds edited. You know? I mean,
well, but they are putting a lot of time into doing that, so it does go through, you know, and gets rid of the dead air and, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, you got to give them credit for having that, you know, that time and taking that time to do that. So it does sound like it keeps going, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot of work. And I tried it a couple of times, like the ones we had to block out here with the cars,
right.
But just doing that, it's like, oh my gosh, where was it? Okay. 30 minutes into the show, you know?
Yeah. And it's not really a way you can fast forward it to where you want it and then just cut it. And then that's
yeah.
it. Yeah. And that's the thing. If I do it live, it's just going to go out there. This is the show, and that's it. And if I write it up and all that, and again, I'm not a writer. I'm not a writer. So
okay.
I don't know. But it's something I'm considering kicking around, thinking about. And Cap has said that he would help me any way that he can. So he's been doing it for a long time, and he's been rated high on different blogs that he's done and all that, and a lot of experience on. So that's a plus there. But I don't know. In fact, just last night when we were talking, he asked me, he says, Ron, he says, how's your blog going? I said, well, it's not right now. I said, I'm still in the infancy, still trying to figure out what I'm doing, but I don't know. So,
something to think about.
Yeah, if anybody has any thoughts or ideas on it or anything, let me know. It's something that is just, like Mike just said, something to think about. So, one thing I noticed this past week, I get emails from Wine Folly. Madeline Puckett is the sommelier and all sorts of letters by her name that she's been doing Wine Folly for a long time, and she's written all sorts of stuff. Very knowledgeable, obviously. And she does a fantastic job. Their address is in Alberta, Canada, Calgary. And so I think that's where they're located. I'm not sure, but I want to say they're Canadian. But they have a lot of stuff. If you don't get Wine Folly, then do. They'll send you a newsletter, and you get it, every week or every 5 days, something like that. A lot of information there. I've quoted a lot of stuff from them before throughout the show over the years. And they also have different things for sale. They have books and maps and glasses, all sorts of stuff. And so openers. So check out Wine Folly. It's WineFolly, winefolly.com. And you can subscribe to their newsletter their email every week. But this just came in today, I believe. Let's see, what's the date on this? This morning, 8:46 this morning. So this just came in. And she lists the year in review, the moments of this past year that she has picked out that are worthy of mentioning. Excuse me. And there's some good ones here, so I'm going to read it. She has a quote here from Winston Churchill, who wrote it back in 1946, which is very good. He says, I could not live without champagne. In victory, I deserve it. In defeat, I need it. So I felt that was always a good quote from Winston Churchill there. But these are some things that she has noted for this new year, which are from last year, the first year. I mean, everybody has their list and all that. I'm not one to put together lists because that would require writing. Excuse me. All right, here's a few here that are interesting. Space-aged wine is now a thing you can buy. So the case of Bordeaux wines returned from the space station after spending over a year orbiting the Earth. One of the bottles to go up, a 2000 vintage Petrus, was tested by leading Bordeaux expert Jane Aston, who said it tasted older than its Earth-aged counterpart. The unopened bottles were up for sale at Christie's at an estimated, are you sitting down, $1 million. And they also come in a nifty celestial trunk. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Let me see. They have a link to that nifty celestial trunk. Oh, that is a nifty celestial trunk. Wow. Yeah, that is really a cool trunk that they have this in. And it's pretty big, and it's got bottles and a place for a glass and little drawers in it. Yeah, the trunk could be worth some money there in itself. So, cool. But, yeah, check out the website. You can probably have something on that. You can look at that trunk. All right, unused airline wine. What do they do with that? Well, there was so much unused airline wine from the airline industry due to the pandemic that American Airlines started an online sales outlet called Flagship Sellers. It says, we were skeptical at first, but after stumbling across a Grand Cru Alsace Riesling for under $20, we promptly shut up and got on board. So, I don't know how you find it. I guess you can ask Alaska to connect you or Google, but American Airlines, I guess it's American Airlines is doing it. It's called Flagship Sellers, so you can check that out. This was something we talked about, wine thefts. It says a hotelier chases thieves who made off with $400,000 of Grand Cru Burgundy. After losing $225,000 of wine and thieves earlier in the week, a hotel owner close to Bayonne woke up to the sound of a burglary alarm again. This time, jumping into a car to follow the van that had made off with $400,000 of stolen Grand Cru Burgundy. The owner managed to keep up with the van and alert police. Thank God for cell phones. When the police joined the chase, the looters threw wine bottles at the patrol car to spook the drivers. The heist came to an end when the van crashed near a toll booth. Luckily, most of the wine was recovered, but the thieves are still at large, throwing expensive Grand Cru bottles of Burgundy at a police car. South Africa bans alcohol four times and kneecaps their own wine industry. I've read about this over the year. This is unbelievable. During the pandemic, South Africans experienced four total alcohol bans. The final ban was only partially lifted on July 25th. Now, this is last year, obviously. The prohibitions have improved hospitalization rates during the COVID outbreak, but have had a catastrophic effect on Cape wineries. In 2021, liquor and wine brands estimated losses of over $2.4 billion from prohibitions and export bans. The prohibition has raised questions about South Africa's complicated history with alcohol. Wow. That's sad. I guess that's my word I'm looking for here. That is really sad. People drank an $800 and $13,000 bottle of wine in error and had to pay for it. Christy Teigen and a man in Japan both ended up spending way more money than they intended on wine in 2021. Christy Teigen, who happened lunch for Christy Teigen, it happened at lunch with buddy John Legend. They are together, as you all know. The server casually suggested a $13,000 bottle of wine without revealing the price. The bill came and Christy threw a fit on Twitter, which ended up blowing up in her face. For a random dude on Reddit, TIFU, today I effed up. The mistake came during Valentine's dinner when calculating the exchange rate between Japanese yen and U.S. dollars. The 1,000 yen, which is closer to $800, not $80 like he was expecting. will just be drinking tap water for the next 10 Valentine's days, he said. Know how to figure your math. This is something I've talked about. Is the 17-year trade battle ends with tax-free wine of tax-free French wine for the next 5 years. Yay! 2021 started out with massive tariffs in the U.S. on wine and other European delights. The tariffs were activated as part of an ongoing 17-year battle between the U.S. and the EU over subsidies given to the European airplane manufacturer Airbus. And that's what it all started from, too. I mean, if you really want to hear some idiocy in politics and all that, go back and check this. Airbus was being subsidized by the European Union, and Boeing was not. And Boeing said, this isn't fair because they're getting a lot more. And it goes on and on and on. And finally, the United States put tariffs on French stuff, and they continued to expand it, and it included wine and liquors and stuff. And so finally, by June 2021, the World Trade Organization negotiated a deal to postpone tariffs for 5 years. So it's not over. It's just postponed for 5 years, but at least we had a 5-year window here where we don't have to worry about it. But if you really want to check out something that's ridiculous, check out this battle with the airlines and all the different ones they're doing. I'm not going to editorialize on that. China's oldest and biggest winery, Shangyu, plans to open a wine theme park in Shanghai. If you didn't already know, Shangyu just finished a wine city, and that's what it's called, in Yantai in 2019, complete with fall chateau. Check out Chateau Tinlot, T-I-N-L-O-T. Winemaking exhibits, tasting rooms, and bars. All right, China. I like that. A wine city. We need one of those here in the States, a wine city. Although we've got Napa and the Finger Lakes and a lot of other areas, but still we don't have a wine city. And we don't have a wine theme park, which they're going to do. China is the world's largest consumer of red wine and now ranks in the top 5 for vineyard acreage in the world. So they're coming on strong. Wine is proven to be the only alcohol that's good for you, which is a true story. It's possibly the biggest wine news for 2021. Scientists have found that wine and wine alone is the only alcohol beverage that's good for you. Now, what have I been saying all these years that we've been on? Red wine is good for you. And I've been saying that over and over, even though I do get reports every once in a while. And I do share them with you that red wine has been proven to be bad. Here, Madeline is saying it's good. We recommend you let that news sink in for a minute and then join Wine Folly's incredible, useful, free wine education newsletter. And that's what I was just telling you about. She's telling you to join them, and you can find out more. So it's a good spot again, winefolly.com. The Queen only drinks wine now. In fact, I saw a picture where was it? I don't know. Some site. I can't remember. Advertising People magazine. They showed the Queen with a glass of wine. Known to be partial to martini, the Queen has given up spirits and only drinks wine. They said it's for her health and also is reducing joint pain. The Queen is now 95 years old. Apparently she is particular for German Riesling and Dubonnet, which is a aromatized wine. She's such a fan of Dubonnet that she gave the brand a royal warrant in November 2021. Wow, I don't know what a royal warrant is, but I'm sure that's pretty important that only a queen can do. If people people who passed away in 2021. There's a list of them here. Let's see. Let's go through these. Stephen Spurrier, the iconic British gentleman who launched California wine into the new world. He was part of the adjustment of Paris. And Jim Clendenin, the winemaker at Aubonne Clamite in California, who was a trailblazer for California Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So, a couple of important people. Famous wine fraudster Rudy Kernowan gets deported. And he was selling wine in the United States, and he got deported. He's no longer here. He's deported to Indonesia, which at one point he sold over $34 million at two different auctions of fake wine. So good for him. Getting serious for Sauvignon Blanc. There is a shortage. France experienced the worst frost damage in decades, and it's reduced its production by one-third. And New Zealand also suffers serious frost damage and reduced its crop by 30%. And France and New Zealand are the two largest producers of Sauvignon Blanc in the world. So if you're a big Sauvignon Blanc fan, you're not going to see a whole lot from France or New Zealand. Is Burgundy getting new grapes? This is another one. It put it in perspective, the region has been growing Pinot Noir for more than 1,000 years, and they are investigating other grape varieties to adopt to the climate change, including Caesar, Syrah, and Zinomavro from Greece. So this is a pretty big deal. A $3,000 bottle of Bordeaux was used for sangria. A daughter used her dad's expensive bottle of Petrus to make sangria for her and her friends. The father found the empty bottles later in the recycling bin. Oh. Oh, boy. All right. Anybody who has a daughter, I don't need to say anything more. If you don't have a daughter, then... you know, imagine. Putin just picked a fight with all wine geeks everywhere. This was when he said that champagne is in Russia has to be labeled sparkling wine rather than champagne. And it set off a big, big stink. I think that's been settled now, though. I just read something a couple weeks ago that's been settled. They're not making them do that. The iconic rosé wine from Provence owned by Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie went up for sale this year. It was a 1,000-acre estate they bought in 2014 for $67 million. And that's where they were married, and they put the place up for sale. What's the perfect bubbly for Formula One? Ferrari, a new Formula One winners weren't allowed to deluge themselves with sparkling wine for fear of spreading COVID-19. So if you've been watching Formula One racing, you may have noted that. So it is now back with a new label, Ferrari from Trento. It's a northern Italian sparkling wine that's taking the spot for champagne for the foreseeable future. So you'll still see the bubbly being poured on Formula One winners, but it's not going to be champagne. It's going to be, the wine's going to be Ferrari. Super premium fuel now made with wine and cheese. Oh my gosh, what are they talking about here? Researchers at a university in Mexico developed biofuels from wine and cheese waste. It's great news because waste in the wine and cheese sector can be as high as 14 to 1. Wow. Yeah. You know, there's the must, there's all sorts of stuff in wine that you end up with, the skins and all that stuff. So like I said, cheese, I'm not that familiar, but yeah. To show off the wine cheese biofuel potential, Prince Charles filled up his 1969 DBP Austin Martin with ethanol made from wine and cheese byproducts to get to the COP26 summit. Cool for him. And wine biofuel is going to power Le Mans in 2022. 24-hour of Le Mans is using fuel from wine, an ethanol product, and it's going to run the Le Mans. That's another cool thing. An Australian wine sells for $104,500 at auction, making it the most expensive Australian wine bottle ever. 1951, the very first vintage of Penfolds Grange. Then it just became the most expensive ever sold. It's a rare buy as there are only 35 bottles left in existence. I certainly hope all 35 were stored properly. I certainly hope so. But $104,500. You had to know it was Penfold Grange because they're probably the premier and known wine out of Australia. Floods destroy Germany's fine Pinot Noir vineyards. And this is something I mentioned, too, back when this happened. She doesn't give a date on this. This is the area is the devastated Auer, A-H-R, Auer Valley vineyards in Germany. It is noted for Pinot Noir, Spätburgunder. Over $50 million in wine and property were destroyed, and hundreds of people perished in the cataclysmic weather event. Hundreds of people perished. Wow. If you live to be 100 in Switzerland, you'll receive 100 bottles of wine. Oh, my gosh, time to move to Switzerland. In Switzerland, centurions get 100 bottles of wine on their 100th birthday. Enough said there. Vines go to outer space. They were tested by experts from the Bordeaux region, sent some grapevines to outer space to see how they grew in zero gravity. So, she puts a note here. We joked about growing grapevines in space on April Fool's Day in 2015, and now 6 years later, they actually did it. Several Bordeaux producers accused a major fraud case. Prestigious Chateau Angelus and Chateau Trottville were accused of rigging the entry system for the Grand Cru classification, Saint-Emilion. I never heard about that. Might avoid those brands right now because if they've accused of fraud, no telling what it's going to be like. I mentioned this. An ancient winery was unearthed in Israel. They believe it was producing as much as 2.5 million bottles worth a year. A massive production was thought to have exported wine to Greece, Egypt, and Turkey for over 1,500 years ago. It was likely known as Gaza wine. And the site had a large kiln and its own amphora and all sorts of interesting stuff. You can check it out. Go on YouTube and check it out. Look under Israel Antiquities Authority for the Gaza wine, G-A-Z-A. There'll be a thing on YouTube for that. Six master sommeliers expelled for sexual misconduct. Yes, we know. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And smoke-tainted grapes make delicious vodka. I was talking about smoke-tainted grapes after all the fires in Napa. And now they're finding that they can use it to make vodka. Smoke Point Vodka is what they're naming it. The vodka tastes clean with floral notes and not even a whiff of smoke. So they're finding a use for the grapes that they didn't know what to do, which is good. I mean, there was a lot of growers that were stuck with grapes. So that knowing that they can have an outlet for it is a great thing. And Mondavi makes a non-fungible token wines available for ETH. Okay. Now, non-fungible token, NFT, digital representations of real wine counterparts in porcelain bottles went up for sale on December the 15th. 1,966 tokens and wines for sale on Mondavi's site for 0.89 ETH. I guess ETH is Bitcoin, is a type of Bitcoin, although it's not called Bitcoin, it's called ETH. But 0.89 ETH is equal to $3,500 a piece. Whoa! And that's the last one she has on this list. Something that I did see, and it's not on this list of hers, but something I did see, wineries are looking at doing Bitcoin. Now, they're not sure how it's going to work at the winery itself. This is something that wineries are debating of how it's going to work at the winery. But for orders, they are seriously considering doing Bitcoin, or I say Bitcoin. That is a type of coin. Excuse me. It's cyber payments. And they're looking at doing cyber payments for wines ordered. Now, they're all not set up for it, and they're all not doing it yet, but I don't know how it's going to end up doing all that. There are a couple of sites out there that you can get on if you're not – I know this isn't about wine, but I segue into it by talking about wine recycling. There's a couple of sites out there that you can get Bitcoin or electronic currency not a lot. You don't have to invest thousands of dollars to get yourself some electronic currency. I want to say I saw this on 60 Minutes. I'm not sure, but they were talking about it, and they're talking about how it's used and how there are different tutorials on YouTube that you can go to and learn how to use it. And there's also different places you can go to that can get you started into electronic currency for less than $100. You can start getting small amounts of it and keep adding to it. So I don't know. I am not a user of it, so I really don't know how it works or anything. But everybody's saying it's the wave of the future. This is what we're going to have to get used to, because this is how currency is going to work and this is what's going to happen. So I'm surprised some wineries haven't done it yet, because wineries usually are pretty good at keeping at the cutting edge of that stuff. So if it happens, then I'll let you know on that. A couple other things here before we go. The largest merger in the 21st century in the Champagne region was completed just a couple of weeks ago. It is a merger between, let's see, where does it say it here? Leading cooperative groups CRVC Champagne Castanel and Central Vinicole Champagne Nicholas Follett, and it's been approved, and the merger became effective on December 31st, and it unites around 6,000 wine growers and 3,000 hectares of vineyard, representing nearly 9% of all the Champagne. So, big merger. They said that Three major operators in Champagne they're going to be the biggest now. They merged two of the three biggest. So, the Nicholas Follette Champagne. I don't remember ever seeing it. I'm sure it's on the shelves because I never gotten perused the Champagne areas very much when I do it. Winemakers are slashing sulfites in wine without sacrificing quality. This is something consumers are saying, sulfites are bad. So winemakers are trying to do with less and less sulfites. And so far, they've been able to control it and keep it down and lower it without affecting the quality of it. Although you get to the point where you have to have so much sulfites in it, or else the shelf life will be really, really short. So have that. You got to have sulfites for that. And let's see. Well, I've got a lot of other stuff here, but I'm not going to hold you tonight on this stuff. I'm going to, let's see, there's a couple of things that I do want to talk about that's a little bit more timely. And not that. This is the one. Selling of wine to go in restaurants. They're looking at, and most states are looking at continuously doing that. And a lot of wineries are continuously looking at doing more of a change to their system than they have before. Still have tasting rooms, but try to promote the off-site tastings and try to promote the virtual tastings as much as they can. It's affected COVID-19 and all of its variants have affected the wine industry tremendously, as you probably well know. And they're looking at, rebranding, I guess would be the proper term, trying to make a to-go food takeout and wine takeout in restaurants a permanent thing here. Same thing with wineries. They're trying to do more and more of a virtual tastings and get it away from people in the winery and put together different packages of certain wines, and they'll taste over the internet and all. So it's changing. The wine industry, as we were used to, is changing. Hopefully it'll evolve back into something between the weird, strange stuff that we have now and had for the last couple of years and between what we actually had, say 5 years ago. And I hope so. I like the old style and all that, but the new style could be fun, but I just like the atmosphere of going into a winery and tasting wine and being able to talk and ask questions and, meet the people and all. Give a hug to someone that you haven't seen in a while, a winemaker or something like that. And you can't do it with this stuff now with this COVID because it's obviously not wise. So it will change. It will evolve. It is evolving now and it's still evolving now. And hopefully it'll turn out to something that everybody's happy with and that everybody can enjoy and go through. Thinking about, how it has changed. So hopefully everything will get better and everybody will be happy with the end results. And speaking of end, I am done for the night.
Well, I was just thinking how we had some of the guests that came on and said that they were doing virtual tastings, video and all that. Maybe that's, I don't know, that could replace some of the tasting rooms now if they went digital like that and with the way things have been going. So I don't know. They have been making some changes like that for the pandemic and whatever else.
It's a strange new way they're doing stuff, but excuse me. As as being in the winery myself, as standing there at the tasting bar and pouring wines and talking to people and stuff like that, that is so much better, I think, than looking at somebody on the TV screen and saying, okay, now pick this up and taste this and all that. I miss doing that. I miss doing that a lot. And that's one of the things. I mean, I enjoyed making the wine and I enjoyed all that aspect of it. I hated all the government paperwork. But the thing I enjoyed most was people coming in and being able to talk to them and hearing their stories and them asking me questions and stuff. I don't see how you can get a whole lot of that if you're doing that virtually. I've never done a tasting virtually. Maybe I should get a hold of a winery and do a couple of virtual tastings just to see how it goes. But I don't know. Yeah. It's just a different animal, different world now. And it's a matter of, you know, adjusting to that. But I really like that one-on-one stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll close the show for this week. It is 8:06 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back on January the 20th next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for tuning in and for joining us, whether it's live or on the archives. We appreciate it. If you have any questions for or want to be a guest on an upcoming show, please get in touch with Ron as soon as you can at the email address. It's all about Ron. allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's all about wine, all one word, 101@gmail.com. Do that. Do not spam him or we will jump through the computer and beat you. So
throttle you. Yes.
Throttle you. Yes. So get a hold of him. And if you have questions about something that you heard or, you know, something that you're seeing in the news about wine or something, you know, ask them there and we'll cover it during the show as well. So,
or any thoughts about the cigar blog I'm thinking about, let me know too.
Yes. Yes. His upcoming award winning, cigar blog. So,
an award winning wine blog. Yeah.
You'll be number one in Brazil at some point with your wine.
That's
blog.
Right. Yeah. Or Argentina, yeah.
Yes, Argentina. Hey, you know you're number one in Argentina. Really enjoy the cigars. Feedback or anything like that, send them to them. We really appreciate it. So, all right. We'll see you all next week. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next Thursday, be safe and in good health, we hope. And we'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Yeah, thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Goodbye, Facebook. Goodbye, YouTube.
They're off. And goodbye, Blog Talk Radio. Go into the green room.
Yeah. Come on.